Please welcome Mr. Leo Routens. Leo, how are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. How about you guys?
You know what? We're good. Thanks for doing this morning. No better guy to have on when you consider the fate of Canada basketball and the new Raptor signing. We'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, when you consider the fact that Canada did not make it to the Olympics and lost to France in the final of that Olympic qualifier, I think people will point to that and go, well, you lost to a better team. Well, really, you didn't, because you lost to Venezuela, which is why you didn't get into the Olympics, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that was the heartbreaker, because last year that was probably the weakest field I had seen and I can remember in the Americas, and Canada had the most talent. So that was the clincher. That was the one that hurt. But, you know, when you lose to France in that game, I mean, France was a better team. France had more experience and they were better prepared for that moment. So it definitely goes back to last year, without a doubt.
Are you disappointed, openly disappointed, in some of the guys that did not play for Team Canada in the Olympic qualifier in the Philippines?
Well, here's my stance on that. I never blame players for not playing, because every situation is different. And having been a player that blew out my ACL, watched my son blow out his ACL playing for his country, and, you know, guess what? When you blow out your ACL or you have a serious injury, your country's not doing a heck of a lot for you when you're out. They're not paying your bills. They're not doing anything. So, you know, I've seen a lot of sacrifices being made, and I never question a player not playing. But what my whole issue was, as soon as they lost last year, the first thing I said is Canada has to host. And by FIBA standards, Canada is considered a have country. They have resources. They have assets. They're a have country compared to some of the others in FIBA. And if you want all your NBA players to play after a long NBA season, you can't sit there and say, hey, guys, we're going to head out to Manila and have this qualifier tournament. But just by virtue of being in Manila, you've added a week of training, travel, all that kind of stuff. And, hey, what happens if you make it? You're bringing guys together for almost a month, and you're going to be together for another month in an NBA off season. So what you want to do is try to be smart about it. And had Canada bid to host this event, you wouldn't have had the same issue about players not being there. It would have been easier. It would have been more convenient. It would have been better suited to it. And you know what? If you're telling me that Canada can't come up with the money, and then you can't make that money back in an event like this in a city like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Edmonton, wherever you want to do it, put it on TV the whole bit, I'm not buying it. Mm. So I think that was the biggest mistake in this whole thing. If you want your best to play, host it.
Let me ask you another question that has very little to do with basketball, even though Canada's not going. Blessing in disguise. I know you've been fairly outspoken by some of the things and the issues you've heard about the Rio Olympics, whether it's Zika virus or violence or human waste and hospital waste and not being able to even swim in the waters you're supposed to hold swimming events at, and couches and mutilated body parts. I could go on and on, but why would I? You and I have conversed a little bit on Twitter about the whole thing, and you've been pretty open about saying it's probably time to move the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be, honestly, if I was an athlete, I don't know if I'd want to go. I'd be terrified.
If Sportsnet asked you to go, would you go?
No, I really wouldn't. Not at this point. It's just, what there's too much of a risk. We don't even know at this point what the security situation is going to be like. I mean, you're talking about police on strike, not getting paid. And that's a dangerous place. I've been there, and it's a dangerous place as it is. Without, you know, all these extra people coming in and not the right amount of security. And, you know, when we were there in the Pan Ams years ago, you had military everywhere. You had stop points every, you know, few miles, you know, just getting in and out of the village. You had to get on and off the bus, you know, several times with guys with machine guns. And if that was in a relatively easier time, peaceful time, less traffic time, what is this going to be like? Especially when you don't have the security and then all the health issues. So no, I really don't think it should be held there, but you know, obviously no one cares what I got to say about it.
Leo, let's bring it back to the Raptors for a second here, as they signed a four yesterday, Jared Sullinger, 1 year deal, looks like about $6 million. I assume he's going to fill the void at the four as far as the starter is concerned, and you bring Patrick Patterson off the bench. What did you make of the move yesterday?
Well, you know, in typical Masai Ujiri fashion, you know, I thought this was a smart move. you got a guy that's kind of at a juncture in his career that, you know, he's got to really take that next step. And that's a great time to get a guy. It's not costing you a lot of money. By today's dollar, the $6 million is not a big deal. And Masai made a great point that, you know, every time the Raptors played against Boston, this guy was a Raptor killer. He's had 20 rebound games. He's had 25 point games. So he's shown that he's capable of doing some really good things out there. I also think from a basketball standpoint, he's a good complement to Jonas Valanciunas because he can go inside and outside. He can hit that 3-point shot. He can hit the top of the key jumper. He can allow JB to operate inside. And like I said, they can play off each other. So, you know, to me, it's a really good gamble. And, you know, he doesn't have to be a star. He's got to be, the Raptors are a guard-oriented team. He's got to be able to fill that role. He's got to be able to get you some boards. He's got to be able to make a few shots, keep the defense honest. And he's got to facilitate. And he's shown that he can play in Brad Stevens' system in Boston and move the basketball too. So I like it. I think I kept telling people, be patient. Masai's not just sitting there. He'll find some pieces that are going to make it work. And Sullinger, along with the draft picks, I think, will be some positive additions to this team.
Leo Routin's our guest, Raptors analyst for SportsCenter, former head coach of Team Canada's basketball team and former NBAer himself. Tim Duncan retired after 19 seasons yesterday in typical Tim Duncan fashion, where not only did he not issue a press release, not only did he not have any kind of press conference, not only did he not even say goodbye, he's not attending his press conference today. Greg Popovich will do that. Really simple press release about the amount of games played and goodbye number 21. That's it. That's all she wrote. Is that apropos for Tim Duncan, or do you think that he owes the fans more today?
No. What does he owe the fans? I mean, he owes the fans championships and winning 70% of his games throughout his co-career, being an example on and off the court. That's what he owes his fans. He's done that. I never went to my graduation at Syracuse. You know what my theory behind that was? I went to class every day. I had to go to, well, why am I going to, I'm going to sit at home, have some breakfast, relax. I'm not going to go to graduation. I've done my work. That's the way Tim Duncan feels. He's done it all. And I love the fact that's the way he went out. Here's a guy that has been an example. One of the reasons that Greg Popovich and San Antonio can run an organization the way they do is because of Tim Duncan. When your best player is your hardest worker, your best defender, he's humble, he's willing to make sacrifices, you're going to be successful, and the organization can thrive around you. And that's the kind of guy he is. So to me, as opposed to this generation where it's all me, Tim was always about the team, and it's a perfect ending to the way you would expect him to exit the game.
Hey, Leo, listen, know you're busy. Thanks for doing this with us this morning. Really appreciate your honesty and your time. Thanks.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.